So, translation and purport by His Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord, is Pritha still living? She lived only for the sake of her fatherless children. Otherwise, it was impossible for her to live without King Pandu, who was the greatest commander and who alone conquered the four directions simply with the help of a second bow. Purport. A faithful wife cannot live without her husband, her lord, the husband. And therefore all widows used to voluntarily embrace the burning fire which consumed the dead husband. This system was very common in India. Because all the wives were chaste and faithful to their husbands. Later on, with the advent of the age of Kali, the wives gradually began to become less adherent to their husbands, and the voluntary embrace of the fire by the widows became a thing of the past. Very recently, the system was abolished, since the voluntary system had become a forcible social custom. When Maharaj Pandu died, his wives, namely Kunti and Madri, were prepared to embrace the fire. But Madri requested Kunti to leave for the sake of the younger children, the five Pandavas. This was agreed upon by Kunti at the added request of Vyasadeva. In spite of her great bereavement, Kunti decided to leave, not enjoy life in absence of her husband, but only to give protection to the children. This incident is referred to here by Vidura because he knew all the facts about his sister-in-law, Kunti Devi. It is understood that Maharaj Pandu was a great warrior and that he alone, with the help of bow and arrow, could conquer the world's four directions. In the absence of such a husband, it was impossible for Kunti to live on even as a widow. But she had to do it for the sake of the five children. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadakri Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganadvitam Ragut Shri Vishakam Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणनामि हरि प्रिये वांचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा आई वुड लाइक टू सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द वैष्णवस हियर ऑल द सीनियर डिवोटीज and all the Vaishnavas online, so that we can discuss something from the Srimad Bhagavatam today. So I will read the translation one more time. O my Lord, is Partha still living? She lived only for the sake of her fatherless children. Otherwise, it was impossible for her to live without King Pandu, who was the greatest commander and who alone conquered the four directions simply with the help of a second bow. So we are reading Canto 3, Chapter 1, questions by Vidura. So we know that Vidura went on his pilgrimage after he had been insulted by Duryodhan and Dhrishtashtra. And during his pilgrimage, he reaches the bank of river Yamuna, and there he meets Uddhava. And here Vidura is inquiring about the Yadus and the Kurus, and he starts with asking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing can be well. So first he inquires about him, then he inquires about some of the Yadus like Vasudev, Pradyumna, Ugrasena. So we've been hearing about that in the previous verses. And then he starts asking about the Pandavas, and in this text he's asking about Queen Kunti. So he's asking, is Pritha still living? So Pritha is referring to Kunti. So her original name was Pritha, and she was the daughter of King Surasena, and a sister, who was the sister of Vyasudev, who is Krishna's father. But later she was adopted by King Maharaj Kuntipoj, and thus her name became Kunti. So now she's referred to as Kunti. So he is asking if she's still living. So we hear here that Vidura knows all the challenges that the Pandus and Queen Kunti have gone through, and is wondering, how is she still surviving? How is she still living after all that she's been through? Now here, Srila Prabhupada talks about this tradition of sati, which is very controversial. But before we discuss that, let's step back a little bit and talk about King Pandu. So King Pandu once had, so he's a warrior, so once he had been hunting in the forest. And there he shot an arrow and killed two deers while these deers were in union. So actually these deers were actually a sage and his wife who had morphed into a body of a deer. And, for the foolish act of killing these deers at this intimate time, King Pandu was then cursed by the sage that if he embraced, ever embraced a woman, he would die. So he had this curse. Now, Pandu Maharaj had two wives, Kunti and Madri. But obviously, they remained childless. And, this was affecting Pandu because he wanted children and he was becoming unhappy. So Queen Kunti, when she was a young girl living in Maharaj Kunti Poj's house, one day Durvasa Muni came to visit. So her father said to her that this Muni has come and you need to look after her really, really well. So Queen Kunti actually looked after him so well that Durvasa Muni was really, really pleased with her, and he gave her a boon that you can actually invoke any of the demigods who will come and give you a gift, so namely a child. So hearing this, Pandu was very, very happy. And he said that, yes, we should use this boon now. So they wanted a child who was righteous in dharma. So who do you think that they invoked? Which demigod who is... So, yes, Dharamraj. So, Dharamraj, Queen Kunti, prayed to Dharamraj, and then Yudhishthira was born. Then they wanted a very strong child. So, who did they invoke? Vayu, so wind god. And then Kunti gave birth to Bhima. Then they wanted a child who was really powerful and virtuous. So, who did they invoke? King Indra. Yes, so and then Arjuna was born. So then these three were born from Kunti. So then Pandu asked Kunti if she could give her boon, pass her boon on to Madri, so she could have some children because she was also childless. So then, you know, the boon was passed to Madri, and then Madri invoked Ashwini, the twin gods, and thus Nakula and Sahadev were also born. However, while they were living in the forest, Pandu was very attracted to Madri, and thus this was the cause of his death. So when he died, you know, there was this tradition of chaste wives. It was a voluntary tradition, would enter the fire, the funeral pyre, with their husband. So it wasn't if, you know, like Madri and Kunti Maharani were pushing each other, or you go, you go. They both wanted to go into the fire. And they were both saying, no, I should go. The other one was saying, no, I should go. And then Madri actually said to Kunti Maharani that you are more experienced, you are older, so you are better placed to look after our young children, five young children we've got. And also at the time of death, Pandu was attracted to me, so I should go. And then finally Kunti Maharani then agrees and says, okay, that's fine. So she actually does it as a sacrifice, not as, okay, fine, you know, I'm saved. She does it as a sacrifice, and she says, okay, you know, I will look after the five children and you go. And, you know, Kunti Maharani actually accepted this, and it was a challenge for her because of the conditions that we know that she had to go through. So I don't have much knowledge to speak about the Sati tradition, but we'll discuss a little bit about this tradition. So the word Sati actually means chaste. That's what Srila Prabhupada says in other texts as well. And this tradition actually wasn't something part of bhakti. It was a karmakanda tradition. It was part of karmakanda. So it was not directly linked to bhakti. And in the Vedic tradition, when a man and woman gets married, you know, they are united not for gratification, but to help each other on their spiritual journey. So to help each other. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, you know, he talks about the purpose of Grihastha Ashram. It is to serve Krishna, to keep Krishna in the center, and both serve together and both help each other in their spiritual journey. So when the marriage takes place, two become one. So they don't merge, but they become one unit. And that is the whole purpose. So when the husband dies, the woman actually feels intense separation. Life is intolerable for her. And then she voluntarily enters the fire of the funeral pyre. And this was seen as a sign of chastity. And Srila Prabhupada here also says that, that it is a sign of chastity. Now, everyone knows that the soul is eternal, so this is not the end. So the idea was that the wife would then share the same destination as her husband, and then they would both continue their spiritual journey from wherever they are. So it was seen as a relationship beyond this life. So chastity is not just, you know, when the husband dies. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see examples of how some of the women showed chastity. And one such example is of Sati, Lord Shiva's wife. Now, some of you might be familiar about Lord Shiva and Sati and her, you know, entering the fire. So, Lord Shiva and Sati were husband and wife, and Sati's father was Daksha. So there was some tension between the son-in-law and father-in-law. So there are some things that happened in the past whereby Daksha thought that Lord Shiva had not shown respect to him. And also Daksha used to think that Lord Shiva, you know, Lord Shiva, the way he looks, he's got a snake around his neck, ashes all over his body, his hair is unkempt. So he thought, he didn't think much of Lord Shiva, so he didn't respect him. So at one point, Daksha and other, you know, senior people, they wanted to perform a sacrifice. So they invited lots of people to the sacrifice. And so, you know, Sati saw that her relatives, her sisters, everyone was going. So the airplanes were flying past, all the ladies were gorgeously dressed, and she was feeling that I would like to go to my father's house. But unfortunately, they had not been invited because Daksha did not want Lord Shiva to go. So in her heart, she was thinking, and everyone would think, that it's, you know, something, an occasion is happening at my father's house. You know, I want to go. All these ladies are dressed so beautifully. I want to also dress up and I also want to go. But obviously, Lord Shiva wasn't going to go without an invitation. And Sati was feeling really hurt and she was thinking that we should go. Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So then in the end, you know, she looked at Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva knew that if they went or she went, the conclusion would not be good. But still Sati really wanted to go. So then she left and she went to her father's house. When she got there, her father just totally ignored her because she was the wife of Lord Shiva. Although she was his daughter, he ignored her. And her mom and her sisters acknowledged her, but her father didn't. And then it was time to offer oblations into the sacrifice, into the fire. And oblations were offered to demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods. So when they offered the oblations, they didn't offer any to Lord Shiva. So Sati got very, very upset that first, he, you know, her father had not invited Lord Shiva. Now oblations were also not offered. So they were insulting Lord Shiva. So she got really, really angry because she felt that actually Lord Shiva is the beloved of all living entities and he is none envious. He has no rivals. And, you know, here her father is not offering anything to Lord Shiva. So she decided that I don't really want this body that I got from my father. So she sat in meditation, invoked a fire within herself, and gave up her own body. So we can see that just because Lord Shiva was insulted, she was such a chaste wife that she decided to give up her body. Now, Srila Prabhupada also talks about in the Srimad Bhagavatam about other, examples, role models, who were very chaste. And we know about Mother Sita, how chaste she was, that she decided to go to the forest, you know, because her husband Ram was going. She could have stayed in the palace. Even Lord Ram said to her that, you know, you won't be able to cope in the forest, you should stay. But Sita said that, no, you know, this is my duty as a wife. As a chaste wife, she went. And then another example we see is of Gandhari. She's the wife of King Dhrishtrashtra. Now, at the end, of the Mahabharata story, when Dhrishtrashtra decides to leave, he takes Vanaprastha. He decides to leave, he goes into the forest and then leaves his body. Gandhari again follows him and she leaves her body as well. So she could have, according to the Vanaprastha ashram, she could have stayed with her sons, or Yudhishthira was very happy to look after her. So she could have stayed, she didn't have to go, but she decided to go. So these are just examples of great devotees who show this, that they were very chaste. It doesn't mention that she entered fire, but she left with him. So obviously he left his body and she left his body. Now we need to understand that this is very different to suicide. When somebody commits suicide, it's because they are really frustrated, they are depressed, they have nothing in their life left, and that's why they commit suicide. But where, this sati tradition was for a higher purpose, so that they could carry on with their husband and carry on their spiritual journey. But later on, this became a forced tradition in India. So, you know, women were forced to enter. So in that case, it became murder. So, you know, people were forced. So, you know, that is obviously murder. Now, the important thing, like I mentioned, was that this is optional. It wasn't that everyone was supposed to do it or were forced. We see in the Ramayana story, actually, when King Dashrath dies, none of his queens enter the fire. They didn't take this up. So it wasn't something that they had to do. It was optional if the lady wanted to do it. And, you know, it was not that widely practiced later on as time moved on. And we know that as time moves on, everything changes. But then when the British ruled India, they thought that this was barbaric and they banned it. And for some time, the Indians thought that, you know, because obviously British were ruling and they felt that, how dare they tell us what to do? This is our tradition, you know, we should do it. So then they started imposing it again. But then slowly, slowly, it has died out. So that is something about the sati tradition. We could say that this tradition is a bit like the Grihastha ashram, that it's not spiritual in itself, but it is something that can be done, which is optional, which helps you on your spiritual path. And we talked about how when a marriage happens, how husband and wife do everything together with Krishna in the center so that they both progress and their offsprings, you know, the children they have, they also become Krishna conscious and they perfect their life. Now, going back to the last sentence that Srila Prabhupada here talks about, he says, in the absence of such a husband, it was impossible for Kunti to live on as a widow, but she had to do it for the sake of the five children. Now, we saw that Queen Kunti made such a sacrifice, you know, and, you know, the environment that she had to bring up her children, which was full of envy, hatred, while she was living with Duryodhan and Dhrishtrashtra. And, you know, the challenges her and her five children, Pandavas, had to go through. And, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the prayers of Kunti. And, you know, if anyone has not read, surely you must read those prayers. They're just amazing. And she's remembering all that they've gone through and she's crying. She's not crying because of her pain, but she's crying in gratitude to Krishna of, you know, how much Krishna has helped her and her children and how he stood by her at all times. And, you know, there is a saying, Rakhe Krishna, mare Krishna, rakhe ke. So if Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can save you. And, you know, if Krishna is there, then you don't need to worry. So, you know, Krishna wanted, if Krishna wants to protect you, then that's fine. You know, who can kill you? And we see how Krishna really protected his devotees, Queen Kunti and the five Pandus. So when suffering comes, actually we can learn from Queen Kunti. You know, when Queen Kunti didn't complain. You know, the first thing we do is we complain, we criticize, we think, why Krishna, why have you given this to me? You know, but in this world, miseries will come. We're living in the material world. Miseries will not go away, even according to our karma. Miseries will come, but we need an umbrella. So when the rain comes, we can complain, oh, look at the weather, it's raining. We can criticize the rain, but that's not going to stop the rain from, you know, falling. But we can pick up an umbrella, and that will give us shelter from the rain. So like that, if we take shelter of Krishna, he will give us He is our umbrella. He will give us shelter from the miseries. He will help us how to deal with those, but He won't take them away, because that's something that we all have to go through while we are living in this material world. And then Queen Kunti not only is crying in gratitude, but she's actually asking for calamities to come. She's asking for more problems so that she can take shelter of Krishna again and again. How many of us would want that? How many of us pray to Radha Gokulananda, please send some problems to us, so that we can take shelter of you? And I was listening to a class and I really liked this example. So it was, they were talking about a father. So, a father has a baby, they're playing with the baby, and then, in play, the father just throws the baby up and then catches the baby. Now, the first time the father throws the baby up, the baby is fearful of going up in the air and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to fall. So the baby is really fearful, but the father catches the baby, obviously. And then the child feels, oh, okay, I'm okay. And then the second time the father throws the baby, again, the child is not as fearful, feels a little bit uncomfortable, but knows that probably my father will catch me. And then slowly, slowly, the faith grows. And then by the end of that, the child starts smiling. When the father throws the child up, the child is smiling, laughing, because they know that my father will catch me. And then after a little while, if the father stops it, the child will urge the father, oh, please throw me up again. That's so much fun. Let's do it again. And, so because that child has now got faith, that, nothing will happen to me. And in the same way, we need to take faith, have faith in Krishna and take shelter. Krishna will not give us anything that we can't deal with. Srila Prabhupada always said that He will only give us as much as we can deal with, and then He will take us in His loving arms. So this is very high, consciousness that Queen Kunti is portraying. And, we can only learn from her and develop that by taking shelter of the Lord. So it's nearly 8:30, so I will finish with one last point. So we saw that Srila Prabhupada says that in an absence of such a husband, how was it possible for Kunti to live? Pandu is also glorified here. And in one morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was talking about this. He said that Lord Shiva is very peaceful and a very great devotee and most powerful at the same time. So that is an ideal husband. Many times Srila Prabhupada also said that girls need protection from their fathers, their brothers, when they get married, from their husbands, and then if the husband is not around, from their sons. So we see that although the wife needs to be chaste, the husband also needs to be sincere. There needs to be respect on both the sides, and in Canto 3, chapter 14, text 17, Srila Prabhupada said that the training for a boy is brahmacharya, and the training for girl is chastity. So a faithful wife and a spiritually trained brahmachari are a good combination for advancement in human mission. So there needs something from both the sides. So women need to be chaste, but then the husband also needs to be sincere and needs to have that training so that he can take his family back to Godhead. So I'll stop here and open it up for any discussions, I wouldn't say questions because I'm not qualified to answer questions, but we've got senior devotees. Yes, Taruna Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for nice class. Just something to give a hint about sati ritual itself. I got some hints from some classes that the sati ritual is not just, wife burns the husband, enter into this painful process of burning herself. This is extremely painful. Try to burn yourself on the finger. Mm. This was yogic process, same as Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati did. Same. She would make a fire, and Shambha Yogi process invoke the fire from within ourselves. This was not at all painful process. Like even nowadays, if you read some articles from in the edge of the science, that there are cases that people get within their bed, they get burnt from inside without burning at all, even their bed. There was no any sign of pain or something. They would turn to ashes. Maybe there are yogis in previous life. There are such cases, maybe 10, 11 cases. So this was the sati process. So to abolish such a process when power of yoga within five was not there, was right things to do, probably by British, because this was extremely painful process. That's the one thing to know. This was not painful process. Therefore, they were happy. There was not any pain. This is different. That's the one thing. Another is, I was thinking, is there any process of sati for husband if wife dies?
Not that I've heard.
I guess sannyasa is probably entering, because it's mentioned in scripture.
Yes.
To enter fire is sannyasa. Which is kind of hint.
Yes. Another.
So this kind of thing. And another thing I would just want to ask, why those sages, there are a couple of examples from Shastras, they would take form of a deer to copulate. Very strange, like what's from, is more or less disgraceful than in human form. Why would take form of deer to have this very strange thing like.
Yes.
And of course you mistake a deer, you don't know which. But this kind of, do you know any, like, why they would take form of a deer or some other animals?
I don't know why would they take a form. I don't know if anyone.
Yeah.
Because if they transport themselves into an animal, they wouldn't be committing a sin. I heard something like that.
Ah. Oh.
I mean, if you do religiously, there's no sin even for humans. The previous in saintly ages of Vedas, this was not sin. Krishna says, "Sex, I am sex life," which is properly done. So.
And it's not illicit because they were married, like the sage and his wife, so they were married, so
yeah,
it's not so, even...
Why would be sin to have progeny? It's kind of interesting thing to reflect on.
Yeah, thank you for those thought-provoking. Yes, Prabhuji and Prabhu. Hold on, the mic's coming, Prabhuji.
Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, did she also enter into his fire?
I've not read anywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It said that she followed him.
Yes.
So she went with him.
She
went with him, but it doesn't say that she took the...
She didn't enter
fire, so she left her body with her husband.
Yeah.
That's what I've read in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, is it? Okay. Yeah.
There was nothing about entering fire. Not that I've heard.
Okay. So she just left her body?
With her husband.
Like in a yogic process.
She entered. Yeah. She was very powerful as well.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a sort of act of chastity as well.
Chastity, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we've gone over 5 minutes, so I think we'll stop here. Thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.